Thank you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond.
And we're listening to episode 148 of the Edible Valley Podcast. And we're talking today about what is restaurant overhead. We should start by thanking you for joining in with us on another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. We're always thankful to have you tune in, and we hope to inspire you to get out and enjoy your own Edible Valley out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, John.
Hey, Darren. For today, I think we're going to jump right into this catch-up, because this is part of a three-part series, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so what did we talk about? We talked about labor.
Yes,
labor costs,
and we were kind of describing, you know, the things that go into and who those labor things come from. You know, just the wages, the different areas in the kitchen, and we kind of touched on a few key items that maybe you could look at if you're a restaurant owner or you're getting into a restaurant that can save you a bit of money and keep your restaurant running in a good spot.
Yeah, I think what did we say? Like the target for labor was 30-ish%.
Yeah, you want to float around a 30%.
And then, so then we talked about...
For the food cost?
Yes.
And then we were talking, after we did labor costs, we did a great little chat about food costs.
That's right.
And sort of, we wanted to sit around that same 30 mark, but, you know, 25 to 38% is sort of the average for most restaurants floating around there.
And again, I think we gave some tips on how to analyze and maybe reduce your food costs and maybe get a more effective profit margin.
For people who aren't into the restaurant business, maybe a little bit of understanding why a menu price is what it is.
Exactly.
It's a reflection of...
I got to say, not having a studio anymore is kind of
the final menu price.
And
so a lot of the food costs is, when we're talking about it, is what the restaurant
to do this. Or we've always wanted to make this a mobile show.
Doing food catering. Anyways, it's buying that actual food for and then what they have to sell it for to make a profit.
So now we're mobile.
And to pay for all their expenses.
So if you're doing some basic math at home, so far we've accounted for somewhere in the vicinity of 55 to 70% of the dollars coming in. So I bet you know where overhead's going to lie. It's going to fill in the rest of that, or almost the rest of that, and then what you're going to be left over with is profit.
Yes.
So
and this explains why most restaurants go belly up within the first 3 years.
It's true. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yes, it's because there's a lot of things that go into it, and I think this is another episode we'll break down into later.
Yeah.
About so you want to open a restaurant,
right?
And maybe you should think about this.
Okay. So overhead. Let's get an idea of what overhead is.
So overhead is a term used to describe operational costs not related to direct materials or labor.
Essentially not related to the two things we've already talked about.
Exactly. I thought we'd just list a few of those things, expand on them a little bit, and then maybe go over some ideas that maybe the two of us have of how you could save a little bit of money on those products.
So I see that you've broken it down to 8 categories.
Yeah.
Let's start with what's your number one?
It's not my number one. It's sort of in no particular order here. But I was going to say with advertising.
Right.
Because all good restaurants, all good businesses, all have advertising. Because
exactly. And you might think that you don't have an advertising budget, but just to be operational, you've got some things there that you are advertising. It's considered advertising.
Oh, exactly.
Like if you have a phone, that's advertising.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You have a website?
Yeah.
That's advertising.
Right.
You know, there's other things you can do. Yeah. Ads in the newspaper, you can do ads on the radio, on the TV. There's all sorts of things. Do a billboard.
Right.
You know, it's just finding out what that operational cost is and what you're going to get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really the look at with advertising.
Right.
Okay, so next we're going to move on to a nice, probably the largest expense that goes into outside of it, your building.
Right.
And now this is either owning or leasing.
Yeah.
And I know you've done, you've done this before, and
I've done both. I have for sure.
Yeah, and so you have to look at what that is going to cost you,
right?
And then we could do a whole episode just on leasing and
versus owning, yeah,
versus owning and square footage and understanding that whole number. And that's something I honestly am not very comfortable about.
Right,
I feel like we need to find a real estate agent out here just to sit down with us and explain what leasing.
That'd
is
probably
all
make that that'd be good actually.
You I know, think like would. How much is it? A dollar for square foot,
yeah.
You know, like the dollar.
Depends on how far down the rabbit hole we go with trying to give people a leg up in opening a restaurant or a catering business. I mean, how far do we go into this? But maybe we do sit down with a real estate agent to get us to really show us how to do that.
How to do that. Because there's a lot of steps that go involved into leasing and renting. And you know what? Like, and that's your overhead is finding that location, because everyone knows location, location, location is the key to successful anything. So,
yeah.
I wanted to move on since we could talk about this all day as we just went on. Indirect costs, and these are the ones that always kind of catch you off guard.
Right.
The big one I know when we got into business together there is just the cost of accounting.
Accounting. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And the amount of effort that goes into doing the accounting.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's something that I would say for sure people don't take into account. Is once your business is up and running, especially if you're in a partnership, things can't be run loose or in your head. They have to be officially transcribed by an accountant. That starts to add up. There's other indirect costs, though.
Well, of course, consulting costs. And I don't care. Anyone who's starting a new business is going to need to talk to some people.
Yep.
Even if you're an old business, there are going to be people you're going to need to talk to down the line, and you're going to need their advice on which way to go. And a lot of times that costs money.
Sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it
does. If you're lucky, you can get it for free, but sometimes there is some advice that costs a bit of money.
Custodial.
Thank you.
It's true. Like, there's lots of other labor that goes into your business that isn't your direct like preparation or serving staff.
As in, you got your serving staff cleaning stuff after during their work. The kitchen is in there cleaning, but you know, take into account you have hood vents.
Yeah,
they have to be power washed and has to be done by a professional.
Yeah,
you've got fire equipment.
Yeah.
That needs to be checked up and maintained, and so those are expenses, indirect expenses that are going to come in. Which
I'm thinking of others. I'm like, there's other indirect wages there. There's lawyer fees for just even registering everything. There's
fees are
just to make everything official and like, not to say that you're going to get yourself in trouble and need a legal team. Just you need to go with a lawyer, file all of your paperwork to make everything your year ends.
Definitely, just to get it set up and properly running. And it also helps you if you get into a bad situation down the line.
Yeah,
you've got this a path to follow to get out of it.
Jump into the next one.
Repairs.
Oh, nobody likes repairs.
Nobody likes repairs. And nothing.
And I can almost guarantee that you didn't start your business with an unlimited budget where everything you bought was absolutely brand new and under warranty. There's going to be some secondhand equipment in your place, I'm sure.
If you don't have secondhand equipment, you're probably not doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're probably spending too much money.
And so secondhand equipment comes repairs.
With its own,
yeah.
And you know what? The one thing I never realized when I started as a chef, that I'd also be a plumber.
Yeah.
And an electrician.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at any of those, but I can patch together things to get by.
When you're in the middle of service on a Friday night and something fails, you have to jump in there and fix it until the guy can get there or the girl can get there to help you out.
And there's other things like storage. Like, not only your food and all your equipment, but you might have extra equipment, your paperwork from your lawyer and your accountant. You have to keep that for a certain amount of time.
Right.
A lot of restaurants don't have enough room for that. So
it's
just an extra thing to throw in there. Parking, that's another expense that a lot of people don't
have. Depending on your location, you might not have parking. You might actually have to pay for some of your parking for your guests.
It's rent definitely some of the space. Something that comes along with it. Supplies.
Okay.
There are extra supplies, like especially with a restaurant. You've got your stationaries. You need stamps.
Yeah.
You got to pay your bills. You've got all this stationary equipment you're going to need. Also cleaning equipment.
Yeah.
Special degreasers, cleaners.
Tons of cleaning equipment. You need so many varieties of with obviously various purposes.
Yeah, just think about how much toilet paper you go through.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, all these things, like, it might sound that it's minuscule, but you put them all together and it actually is a sizable chunk of
and it's no part your of sales. Your it's no part of your labor cost. It's no part of your food cost. It's literally something that you're giving away just so that people can come into your establishment.
Right. Again, factoring into that menu price.
Right.
It's got to. What else do we have?
Well, we'll move down the line. I think we're here's a great one that'll catch a lot of people off guard, but just utilities. Mm-hmm. So we can look at trash removal, recycling. I mean, yes, we talked about telephones on advertising, but it's also a utility you're going to have to pay for, which goes with your internet because everyone needs internet.
Water, depending. Gas is a big one for a kitchen.
And so all those utilities sort of build into there and supply a huge amount of costs.
Absolutely.
To running a restaurant.
And not only that, I mean, whatever, just speaking to my experience, I used to own a building that I ran one of my businesses out of. And in the winter, per month, my hydro was $1,800 a month.
And, wow.
Yeah. And that's something that blindsided me because when I bought it in the early spring, I didn't even take that into account. And then, of course, we come around to that winter and I was just blown away.
Yeah. Well, you're running no heat in there for the entire summer, you know, open. Yeah. Yay. I got to power some microphones and
exactly. And so now, when I found that out, thankfully I was in a position where it didn't really affect the business too much. As you can imagine, 5-6 months of bills at $1,800, you know, it's one of those things. Again, had I done the research, I would have been able to prepare for it better.
Right.
Yeah.
Great look at just that's a great description of utilities, how they can kind of catch you off guard.
Yeah,
sometime.
Absolutely.
So we say, so water, electric, gas, all of those ones are a great one. Here's one I was going to add into overhead is depreciation.
Yes.
Because all your equipment is depreciating the longer you have it, and that is a cost to you. So one, that brand new fridge that you bought that you're really proud of, it's not worth any as much.
Yeah.
So there is a cost to it there
right.
that you're losing money the older your equipment gets.
Yeah. Every year your restaurant's assets are worth less and less, making your overall business worth less and less because of your aging equipment. And right. that has to be accounted for.
Definitely. It's all part of that whole spectrum. And then the last part, and this is the one that it changes from place to place, licenses and taxes.
Yeah.
Where they come from. I mean, just provincial and federal taxes. You've got to take those into account. You also have all your licenses.
Yeah.
So you have to have a liquor license, a serving food license, all these little licenses.
Depending on your location, it might come with extra licenses. I know that the one business that I had that overhang on the water, I had to pay an extra $1,000 a year as a separate license altogether. It was called a water lease, just to be allowed to be in that spot.
Because you're hanging over the water. And
that's just one example. There's tons of others. And before you select your location, you should definitely be aware of what extra fees go into being in that location.
These are some great things to look at when you're looking at doing it. And it's also a good explanation of why a restaurant charges what they charge for a meal. Because I know you can go into the supermarket and buy a tomato. Mm-hmm. And then you can take that tomato home and slice it and put it on a plate and eat it. Mm-hmm. But when you're eating that tomato and you're sitting there, are you thinking about how much you paid for the rent on your house
right.
or your mortgage?
The gas it costs to go to the grocery store.
All those little things. And so those all get incorporated into one big number with restaurants. So now where I'm going from this is you've got all these numbers. And just for people to break it down to make life a little bit easier, you take this number and then I would divide it by either the months of the year that you're open. So let's say you're open, you can take that price and divide it by 12. And then you know each month that this amount of dollars is going to keeping your restaurant.
On average, it's not going to be perfect.
Yeah, but it's a good thing. And it's definitely something like after your first year.
Yes.
Or if your business has been around, say, 22 years. It's one of those things you're going to learn and every year is going to have a little bit of a deviation. But it's going to be probably a pretty close and it's a good thing to focus on your next year to be like, this is what it's going to cost me to be in business. And so you can take that number and break it down even more into how many weeks or literally how much it costs you a day to be there. And I was laughing because you're saying like just living here in your house, you've gone from Darren has a new homes.
And it was a pretty big jump. It went from our cost of living was $45 a day to our cost of living is $100 a day now, 60 in the house. And then or 60 something with the house and then the rest of, And not that it's anything difficult or unlike what everybody else is experiencing, but just that jump, just being able to break that down, just I have that sort of analytical mind where I just always factor things down.
To break this all down, even make it easier, I found a little statement that I thought was like perfect to do this, that if you're a restaurant
okay,
and you have overhead is below 35%, of your sales, then you're doing good.
Right.
I wouldn't be too worried. If it's the other way around, that's when you have to start looking at doing some cost saving
measures.
So I thought maybe next, the little bit next we can go on to is just talking about some of those cost measures that we could go on to.
Yeah. What sort of ideas do you have?
Well, I was just going through and I was going to just spitball with advertising quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of ways to advertise now and it's kind of growing. And a lot more inexpensive ways.
It's true.
And whether having that...
Advertising used to be so expensive, but now there's so many forms are cheap.
Well, it's looking at social media and remembering you're still missing out on a huge dynamic who is not up on the social media.
Right.
So there is a group of people that follow Facebook religiously and there's a group that doesn't look at it and you can't make them, which is completely understandable. So you have to look at who your clientele is and how you can get them in the door.
Yeah.
And find ways that you can communicate with them without spending a huge amount of dollars, without blanketing everyone. So there's lots of ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether you do something as simple as, you know, a Facebook post every day or Instagram.
It might not be, you might not have the budget to, say, get into advertising in the sense of, you know, radio, newspaper, what have you. And that's understandable. But you're wanting to target that demographic that is into the newspaper and radio. Best way then to circumvent that, to get that coverage with no money, is to do a lot of donating of your time and get involved in a lot of events, throw your weight into a lot of events because the radio and the newspaper will then cover and say this was supported by such and such restaurant.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that sometimes people can look at it, because I know the first few times that I talked to somebody in radio and they were saying, you know, oh, a decent radio campaign is going to be $3,000 a month. I was like, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
But I can afford to take myself and my employees down and support a whole bunch of events and get some coverage there. And so then I'm now being, you know, read by those people that are reading the newspaper. They're now aware of my business.
Being in the public eye.
Yeah.
Like being a part of the community.
Absolutely.
Always helps huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that leads me to word of mouth. Encourage your guests to get out there and promote you. And
absolutely.
Make sure that your customers leave happy. Like, I think that's the key to any restaurant.
Yeah, that's. I think that goes even further back. Like, that's one of the things. You have to make good food and you have to have people happy when they leave. Otherwise, you're dead in the water already.
So those are just some good things. We could go back to buildings. I think with buildings is looking at owning because then you're getting something out of it, which is any restaurateur would love to own their building.
Yeah.
It makes life so much easier. You don't have to worry about making that rent payment every month. You know, it's more of making sure that you have enough money to cover your mortgage payment.
Especially in the sense of, you know, when things break down or repairs are required, it can quite often become a bit of a tenuous thing with your landlord arguing over whose responsibility it is. When you own, you know it's your responsibility, but it's also every month you own a little bit more of your future there.
And you don't have to worry about someone coming in and getting your lease and having to start over. Mind you, on the flip side of the lease, it's your safety net. You don't own the building, so if something goes wrong with the building, it's not your problem.
It's somebody else.
Or not as much.
Yeah.
Certain things are your problem, but it's not as much.
Right.
But, you know, there is things, too, as if you are having difficulties, is renegotiating your lease and going to your landlord and saying, hey, look, I'm established in here. I've got it. I'm shooting above that 35% of overhead.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is something I can fix.
And that might sound crazy to go to your landlord and say, I want to pay less. The fact is, quite often, the landlord's rate that they've come up with is assuming that they're only going to have 9 months occupancy in a year or 10 months occupancy in a year. And that's how they came to their rate. And if you can say, well, I'm guaranteeing you, you know, like 2 years, well, then they can leverage that out and say, you know what, I can charge you less a month then if I know that that much is coming in.
It's much easier to keep a current person going who's paying the rent
exactly.
than to have to go
constantly
out there,
look for new tenants
and go through this whole cycle over
absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
Accounting. A lot of those indirect wages, you're kind of stuck on on the hop. I mean, shopping
around. The only way I was able to sort of curb expenses on accounting And I don't recommend this right off the bat, but I recommend this down the road. You can take everything to an accountant loose in a box and say, here, deal with it. And they're going to bill out that $75 an hour or whatever they are, just going through and organizing the stuff to start with, then entering the data, then, and your bill is going to be massive. You can have everything so crisp and clean and the numbers just staring them at them in the face. And then they're just billing you that 1 hour to enter the data and make all the whatever. So as you start to learn what your accountant needs, you can be better prepared for them and you can start to save a lot of money there.
Well, it's doing keeping up on your own bookkeeping.
Absolutely.
It's a great way to save some money. Repairs, learning how to do them yourselves.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really the only way, just because you realize when you bring a repair guy in, it's going to cost you $100.
Yeah.
Just to get them in the door.
Just to get them to show up.
Let alone what goes along with that, whether it's plumbing, whether it's that. Not that I'm saying you should do all your own plumbing, because I think there's a reason these people are professionals and they know what they're doing. I'm just saying small jobs.
Yeah, learn the basics of it so that you can get through those little clogs, those little, like, something's happening, I don't know, you know, you get through those little things. But the big jobs, like when you've sprung a leak.
A fuse blows, you should know how to fix some of that. So that's one little thing. Supplies, you're kind of stuck on the hoop for that one. Mm-hmm. Most of your utilities, I mean, I always like to say, think green.
Yeah.
You know, turn off the lights, turn off the gas.
Yep.
Keep your hours of operations within what they can be. Watch your temperature in there. The temperature in the restaurant. Just those keeping an eye on the little things
is
a good way. And you're kind of stuck with license.
There's no changing it. I mean, if it's really starting to become an issue, maybe you have the luxury of moving to a different building that's, you know, better visibility or better location that has less expense, but the likelihood of that happening is very slim. I can think of very few restaurants in this town over the history of the last 40 years that have been able to move and retain their success. Maybe two or three.
I can think of that have done better by moving, but it's a hard gig to be able to change, especially if you're well established in a
place. Yeah. Not that John and I are experts, but we're definitely, between us, we've run and maintained and been behind the scenes in what, probably 10 different businesses now, restaurants, food related. If we haven't covered something here that, you know, please get in touch with us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us in a lot of places.
We always love to hear feedback from our listeners, and especially from you, just for you to give us a little 2 cents of how you feel about the podcast, what you'd like to see.
Maybe something we missed that we didn't cover that you want more details on.
Yeah, because I would like just to say, if there's anyone out there that is doing this currently or is about to get into this or knows someone who's doing one of these few things, we would love to talk to you. So I'm looking for anyone who's in a restaurant, who's opening up a new restaurant and getting going.
Yeah.
New caterers out there. I know people always get into catering.
Yeah.
And it always moves on to something else, but it's really nice to meet up with these people and find out what they're offering and what they can give to people. New producers, which is always great, because there's been so many wonderful people that we've run into in this time that have grown their businesses, and it's really neat to see them start off from just really small things and how they progress. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to know their story of how they got into it. And don't forget farmers.
Yeah.
Nothing better than knowing the people that are working with the lands, or even in our case, in the water. Yeah. Those farmers out there, we'd love to talk to you. And of course, we're always into new events. There's so much happening in this community with that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that we never get a chance to talk about. And then, of course, if you're a food group or a foodie just in general, we'd love to talk to you and find out what some of your favorite foods are.
Yeah, even if you do, like, you know, those sort of foodie dinner groups, we would love to talk to you, like, want to know about your dinner groups and get some ideas, get some talking going about what's going on out there in the smaller venues, not just the big venues.
And of course, we're putting up some recipes, some audio recipes for people to follow along. So if you're interested in any of that, we've got that all here at the Edible Valley Podcast.
Thanks to everybody that's helped us get here so far, all of our sponsors. As you know, with us stepping out and taking this in that new, more liberating direction, we are looking for new sponsors. We're a new sort of show with a new direction. So it's time to start anew. And we would love to get out there and talk to you or discuss anything further if you want to be a part of the show.
If you could just send us an email at the Edible Valley at @edible valley@gmail.com. You can get us at Twitter @edible valley, Facebook @the Edible Valley Podcast. And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.